Off Base Podcast.
This is Last Place Joe. There's no shame in finishing last. Anyone who listens to my commentary on this podcast, do it at your own risk.
We can really express our true opinions about who we think sucks. Mr. Timothy Lamar Lincecum. That guy's a gas can. Terrible second half last year. Bad spring so far. I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I don't have a lot of good data to back this up, but I'm going to say it. I think Matt Kemp's overrated.
You think Prince is a justified top 10 pick?
I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I think Marmol is overrated.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury is overrated. I don't like Evan Longoria or David Wright. I think they're both overrated. I happen to think I have the best and brightest insights among the three of us.
And I finished in last place.
You got Scott Bodley here, the BOD. I work hard all day. Was in a foot race. Adrian, Poppy, or Usain Bolt running back.
I thought Sean Markham was your secret love child.
You know, we really did it for the fans. After Tulo, it is a barren wasteland. You might as well draft Ernie Banks or Jeff Blauser.
Well, apparently we had a slight Twitter malfunction.
I don't really consider Cabrera first baseman. If you're playing him at first base, you're an idiot. Why would someone take Votto over Cano? It blows my mind. I'm just a champion all the time.
The Big Cat.
We are three knuckleheads sitting around doing a podcast on fantasy baseball.
It took it a little while for the secret to actually get out.
Every time Wally picks somebody up, it's gold. It could be, you know, my grandma, and all of a sudden she'd be hitting like 350.
Until I see Miguel Cabrera out there with an actual frying pan on his hand, then I'll change my mind. Matt Kemp's going to win the NL MVP. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Sit back, enjoy the information, the knowledge.
All right, welcome back. Episode 8, Off Base Podcast. This is Last Place Joe. I'm joined by the Big Cat and the BOD. What's happening, guys?
Welcome back from your vacay.
Yeah, Last Place Joe, man. The fans been missing you.
Well, I took a couple weeks off, not only from the podcast, but apparently from managing my fantasy baseball team.
Which, the first 2 weeks is a great time to do that.
Living up to my name, for sure. I guess we should give a shout-out to Big Clint for filling in a couple weeks ago. A lot of good user response for Big Clint. I had some good commentary. I took a few shots. When I listened to the podcast, I realized I was taking a beating, but fair enough. I am in last place. So, yeah, thanks to Clint for joining in, and thanks to the fans for writing in. We should probably mention our contact details, BOD.
Email is offbasepodcast@gmail.com. Twitter is Off Base Podcast. And of course, you can follow the league at tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
Right. So feel free to check in on the league, check in on the standings. You can get a feel for what's going on, especially on the message board, anytime, day or night. And spread the word. Leave us a review on iTunes. And let's get the word out about the Off Base Podcast.
So how many games did you see on your trip?
It was good. I saw opening day in Arizona. It was Kennedy against Lincecum. I have Kennedy and Lincecum on my team, so...
Did you have the split hat? Like like the SZ?
I wore my Lincecum jersey and my Diamondbacks hat, and I kept getting high fives from all kinds of Giants fans, you know? But ultimately, Timmy got lit, which... That's the worst. When you make a trip, you spend the money and the time, and you go see your player, and then he just gets tattooed. It was pretty bad. I think it was 5 innings, 5 earned runs.
Did the Giants fans just look at your boobs? Is that why they only saw the Giants, not the D-backs?
Yeah, exactly. So it was good. I also saw Kane the next day, and then we went over to San Diego, saw a couple more games. Saw a Chris D'Onofrio home run from the Padres to beat the D-backs.
You don't see that a whole lot.
No, you don't. It was a rare moment. So it was pretty good. That San Diego ballpark is nice. Not too many fans. We got to sit right down on the field. It was pretty cool. Good way to start off the season.
Did you hear who me and the Big Cat saw this week? Phil Dunphy.
Phil Dunphy?
Yeah, we ran into Phil Dunphy during our...
WTF, what a face.
So tell us about that.
Big Cat?
Me and the BOD just went to a little stand-up comedy show. And as we're wrapping up, getting ready to walk out, Mr. Phil Dunphy came walking by. He was wearing a hat, bearded up. You could tell he was maybe trying to be a little under the radar.
So he wasn't the comic, though.
No, he wasn't the comic. He was just there to partake of the laughter. So
nice.
Yeah.
For the record, we weren't the comics either. You guys might think we were, but you know what's funny is I have a friend who my other friends told that I was a stand-up comic, and she literally thought I was a stand-up comedian for a year and a half. How awesome is that? It's great because she actually thought I could pull it off.
Well, you got to keep coming up with new material.
I know.
That's funny.
Well, I have to admit, the league is not really going the way I planned, and I was pretty vocal. I thought I had a great draft. I mean, I thought this was my year. So far, not so much. Let's talk about the standings in the league, where they are right now. Say the URL again if people want to check our league.
tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague. It's the largest tiny URL out there, I believe.
Nice. Not very tiny at all.
I just made that up, so.
So, in first
Guinness
place...
Guinness didn't call you on that. Book of World Records. No.
In first place, I think it's a surprise. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Well, yeah, it's a huge surprise. I mean, we hammered him for, what, two podcasts straight after the draft, talking about how none of us liked his team, and now 2 weeks in, you know, here we are with him leading the league by a good margin, actually.
Should we tell him who's actually leading?
Yep.
Who is it?
The whole
FHL. Drum roll, please.
brand new player in the league. You know, he's showing out right away that he can hang with our quality of play. But I'm not buying it. I think it's the smoke and mirrors. I still look at his team. I think it's awful. honestly, I mean, I don't like much about it. So his starting shortstop is Zach Cozart. That's the guy that he didn't even that he picked up off waivers. Asdrubal Cabrera has been hurt. Nick Swisher still is starting first baseman, crushing it. I mean, listen, you can't argue with the stats. You can't argue with the fact that this guy's in first place, but...
A-Rod just left the yard, folks.
It's an A-bomb.
Is he getting some popcorn or... Oh, a home run. That's a bad joke.
Unbelievable. Right, we're watching. It's Red Sox-Yankees right now, and Clayball Colts is getting his tits lit.
I don't know how FHL can be in first place because so many of the guys on his team are doing exactly what I thought they would do.
You know why he's in first place? Two words. Matt Kemp.
Well.
Yeah, Matt Kemp is a beast. We need to get into that. Maybe we'll get into it.
Let me tell you who's not good on his team. And again, I'm going to predict he's going to fall. I'm going to guarantee you that I beat this guy this year.
You're going to guarantee
it? Golden guarantee.
What are we putting on the line
here? It's like all these athlete guarantees where there's absolutely no consequence if you're wrong, right?
Should we tell them where you're at right now? Just so
we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I think everyone knows. But honestly, who's Pedroia's playing fine. He's 271.
Pedroia's going to be good, though.
And he's going to be gone. You expect that. Adam Jones is playing way over his head, in my opinion.
Adam Jones is a good player.
And I've got him on my list for later to talk about on who you got. Matt Kemp is unbelievable. So I just want to say right now, I'm repenting. I have to admit, Matt Kemp is sensational. I don't know if he'll do it the whole year, but 7 bombs already, 18 RBIs.
15 runs.
451 batting average.
He's not going to keep that up, but he'll do fine. He'll be amazing.
He's going to go 40-40.
And he could carry the team.
Well, he only has one bag.
I know. Because every time he gets up, he hits it out of the yard. At some point, that'll slow down.
Unbelievable.
It's funny. I was talking to Body about it the other day. You and I made that bet, $100, on Matt Kemp being the top 5 in the player rating.
I thought that was the easiest money ever.
Before the season started, I was a little bit nervous about it. And as of today, unless Matt Kemp gets hurt, I don't think I'd lose that bet.
Yeah, who's going to catch him? He's number 1 by a mile.
And his pitching is good, too. It's not like his pitching is bad.
Well, look at his offense, though. Swisher, not good. Ryan Zimmerman's hitting .236. He has one home run. Zach Cozart came off waivers. He's serviceable at best. Delmon Young hitting .273, one homer. I mean, Adam Jones definitely and Matt Kemp definitely. That's carrying his offense. Even Ichiro, who only gives you average and steals, that's the extent of his value. He's hitting .263 and he's got one steal. Offense, this is not a league champion's offense.
But I disagree. I think he can be carried by Matt Kemp. And I think Sho has shown that he's not afraid to pick up guys. He's obviously playing guys who are hot.
Who do you like on his pitching staff?
Who do I like on his pitching staff? Jonathan Neese, that's a fantastic pickup.
Yep.
He also has C.J. Wilson, Verlander, and James Shields.
Pretty good. Plus Lance Lynn for the Cardinals, who's a nice little pickup too. So
He's got four legit starters.
I like his pitching.
Big Cat, thoughts?
I think it takes more than pitching to win. I mean, he can compete. I think his team's better than we gave him credit for to start, but... I don't know. I don't think it's a first-place team.
It's not a first-place team. I will beat this team. Guaranteed.
So what will happen if you don't? Let's talk about that. Well, you know, let's talk about the reality. What will you do?
He will retain the name Last Place
Well,
Joe.
The reality is we don't have 11 teams in our league, so if I finish 10th, I'm not going to beat anybody.
Some good math.
All right, 2 weeks in, Bastage is in second place. Wally's in fourth place. Cobra's in sixth place. I'm not surprised by any of those. Bleacher's in third place. We've given a lot of grief to Bleacher, and I didn't like his draft. In fact, I thought it was one of the worst drafts among everybody in the league, but he's in third place right now. What do you guys think about how his team is? Can he sustain this?
His pitching, his ERA is, I think, in the negatives. So I don't know how he's done that, but his pitching grew well.
Well, he drafted his second and third pick were pitchers, and I think he took some heat for that. So it's paying off so far, right?
Well, and he's also definitely benefited from Starlin Castro. I think he already has 93 stolen bases this year.
I mean, I didn't see that coming. He's hitting 360, and everyone knows he hits for average. I think he led the NL in hits last year. But seven stolen bases already? That's impressive.
He has a 10 in stolen bases. Bleacher.
Not for long. And he's doing all this, by the way, without Justin Upton doing anything.
That's true.
Upton's not on the DL, but he has no home runs, and he's hitting 212. So he's doing this without Upton. Like you said, his pitching is amazing. Cole Hamels is doing his thing. Sean Markham, striking people out at a rate of one per inning. Gio Gonzalez is a 2.04 and a whip under one. So
who do you think will finish higher, Show or Bleacher?
Oh, I'd have to say Bleacher right now. What do you think?
I don't know. I'd say Bleacher. I like his team a little bit more.
Better offense for sure.
But, you know, I just don't think we should be discrediting Shell because he's in first place. He's obviously playing it right.
I'm just calling it how I see it. I don't think that offense of his can...
I mean, you got to consider we're 2 weeks in.
Right.
2 weeks. I mean, there's a whole lot of baseball to play. I mean, you were telling me just the other day when you won the league, what, 2 years ago? And you were last place halfway through June?
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a lot that's going to happen between now and then. This is essentially you've had a guy on a hot streak or not. I mean, we all think Matt Kemp's amazing, but he's not going to hit seven bombs every 2 weeks. So
good. It's Matt Kemp.
If he hits seven bombs every 2 weeks.
Well, I said this before, but I'd rather be in first place on April 20th than in last.
No, I agree, but I would rather be in last place on April 20th if it means that I can be in first place later. I mean,
yeah.
No one wants – I mean, trust me, hey, me and Joe are both in the bottom half of the league right now, and it's frustrating every single day to sit there and watch your team be a piece of crap, but you got to try and keep perspective on this thing right now.
So
if it was midseason, then I'd be freaking out.
So let's dig into that. Why are your guys' teams sucking so bad? Big Cat, you go first.
I've had some really bad pitching so far.
Who are your pitchers?
Josh Johnson is killing me. I can't undo the things that he does to me every 5 days.
It sounds like a love song.
Put it to music.
I can't undo the things he does to me every 5 days.
Seriously, I feel like I get raped every fifth day, but I keep running him out there, so... I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, I said before the season started that he's the dude that my team was going to hinge on, so.
Well, the Ellsbury injury hasn't helped.
Yeah, losing my second-round pick didn't help either, but that hasn't really cost me so much yet. I mean, it's going to down the line, especially losing all those stolen bases. It's going to cost me points, but that's not why I'm where I'm at right now. You know, if you look at the stuff that he was going to give to me, I'd be – right around where I was anyway.
You know, if you think about it, you'd probably be in last place if it wasn't for Hunter Pence.
Well, hey, Hunter Pence is one of the best players on my team right now. There's no doubt about it.
Last place, Joe? Where are you in last?
I'm in last place, unfortunately. I was in first place for a brief moment in time, like on day four, which, of course, I took a screenshot. And I'll make that my avatar.
You did that last year, if I remember correctly.
I think it was your Christmas card.
You've got to take what you can get. I mean, here's the thing. Either I don't know anything about baseball, or this team I have is going to finish a lot higher than where it is now. And I don't know which one of those two things is true, but one of them has to be true. I mean, so I have no injuries. I can't blame it on that. My pitching has been unbelievably bad. Putting aside my love affair of Lincecum, I mean, you just expect Tim Lincecum, who is a top five starter, I think, you know, most people would agree, coming into the season. He has no wins. He has a 10.54 ERA and a 1.90 whip. That's devastating. I mean, that's devastating to my team. He has 16 Ks in 13 innings, and that's fantastic, but those two ERA and whip categories, it's debilitating to my team. To go along with that, Josh Beckett had a pretty nice start, and then he got hammered his second time out. So his ERA is 5.03. Put that with Kuroda, who had a bad start recently. He's got an overall 5.0 ERA and a 1.61 whip. I mean, my starters have just destroyed my team on the pitching side. Offensively, it's hit or miss. I just have too many guys. D. Gordon's hitting 192, and he's stealing a ton of bases, but that's all he's doing.
Did you have expectations he was going to do more than that?
Well, I knew he hit 300 last year with 200 at-bats, and so I thought it was realistic that he would maybe hit 270 this year. And some of the criticism of D. Gordon in the preseason was that he doesn't walk enough, so I was worried about his on-base percentage. But he's killing me right now. Stolen bases is all he's giving me, so it's one category.
But if he gets, let's say he gets 45 stolen bases and hits 220, you take that every day of the week, right?
Probably, if he can, you know, if he hits somewhere between 220 and 250, you can live with it, but not if he hits 192. Eric Hosmer, who I thought I got as a steal in the draft, he's hitting 167. Matt Holliday, he's got three bombs, but the guy's hitting 203. So my offense is letting me down, even though I've had real good surprises from Beltran, who is ranked where?
He's third overall, second?
In the top 10 for sure overall, so that's working out good for me. Miguel Cabrera's okay, he's not been sensational, but Kinsler's been good. So it's a hit or miss for me, which, I don't know, like you guys said, it's early. I hope something changes soon.
Can I bust out some Tim Lincecum stats for you?
Oh boy. There's been nothing worse than watching this happen, because everything Tim Lincecum does is magnified in this league, because you guys are all watching it and making fun of me.
Yep.
So go ahead.
Lincecum is the worst pitcher on anybody's team right now. He's the fifth worst pitcher overall. The guy's ahead of him in terms of...
You mean in all of baseball?
In all of baseball.
According to the Player Rater.
According to Player Rater. Francisco Lurian is worse. Randy Wolf is worse. Mark Melanson, who has an ERA of 49.5 and a whip of 6.
And is now in the minor leagues.
Yeah. Jar Jar Binks is fourth worst. And then Tim Lincecum.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. By the way, 6-7 is Latos and Josh Johnson. So
incredible. So, all right, let me ask you guys your advice. I obviously need counseling here, since I'm suffering from battered Lincecum syndrome. What would you do? Would you bench him? Would you keep rolling him out there?
Oh, I would sit his butt on the bench.
You would?
Yeah, man. The way you can't keep getting hit like this. And if you miss a great start, fine, but you know he's going to be okay the next start.
So that's always going to take one good start, and you're good to go.
Well, Lincecum, yeah. I guess it depends on who he's playing next. You know,
I don't know what to do. I was for sure going to bench him when they played the Phillies because he was facing Halliday, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I thought, what if he goes out and throws a gem? And he didn't. He got destroyed. But his strikeout numbers are high. I don't know what to do. I can't trade him.
So would you play him? Sounds like you would.
It would depend on who he's pitching against, I think.
Bottom line is, it sounds like he's getting Ubaldo, like last year, how he just was terrible. And after a while with Ubaldo, you just got to say enough.
Yeah.
You got to quit pitching him.
I haven't run these numbers, but I'm pretty sure that if I had never started him at all this year, if he wasn't on my team, I would not be in last place.
What's your team ERA right now? And what? Any idea?
I try not to look at it. It's brutal.
It's like Lot looking back at his wife. That's a Bible joke right there.
My team ERA, it's the worst in our league, is 4.93. My whip is third to worst, 1.39.
So a lot of that damage is from Tim.
Yeah. I don't know what to do.
I say you sit him and totally pitch as well.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do? You can't trade him. Even if you were up for trading him, you can't right now because you're just going to get nothing.
Well, I'm obviously not going to trade him because none of you would give me a fair deal.
Well, no one would at this point.
Even if like we didn't know you loved him, no one would give you fair value
but
for him.
But the question is, do I bench him or not? And right now, I don't know what to do. It's a battered wife syndrome, but it's battered Blitzikon syndrome. I just keep taking a beating every 5
who's
minutes.
Who's his next start?
You know, while we look this up, the other thing about Blitzikon, I mean, he did pitch well after that first inning against the Phillies.
Like I said, he's got 16 Ks in 12 innings. So I sort of need those counting stats, right? If I bench him, I don't get the strikeouts that I paid second-round value for.
Yeah, but not in the name of getting absolutely killed in two other categories.
It looks like he's going up against the Mets. They don't have any offense.
Lucas Duda has something to say about that.
That'll be Sunday. I guarantee you he'll be out there because I can't help myself. He'll be on the bump. He'll get rocked for 5 runs.
Is it at home or away?
I'll just get more texts from you guys the whole time it's happening. It's at Citi Field. Well,
the Sun just ate Nick Swisher up in this Red Sox game. Gave up a run because he was ducking the ball. They wanted to hit him in the face.
So we've been talking about the first 2 weeks. Let's do a 2-week report card. Let's tackle some of the guys we think have been overperforming, underperforming. I mean, we had all our minds made up on how the season was going to go coming into the draft, right? It hasn't gone that way in a lot of cases. Let's start by talking about some players you guys think have overperformed based on where they were drafted.
Well, I think there's a few pitchers that will come back down to earth. Big Fat Bartolo Colon. I love the guy, but he's not going to be this good. Kyle Loesch is not going to be this good.
On Colon, all you have to do is look at what he's had. 3 of his 4 starts are against the Mariners, right?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen all season. He doesn't get the Mariners for 30 starts.
He's ranked 16th overall. 16th overall.
Well, and he's been good, but he's gone up against one of the worst offenses 3 times now. He's not going to do this every day.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, he plays for Oakland, too, who also has one of the worst offenses, but you can't argue with his numbers.
He does have Cespedes, though, backing him up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and your freaking new love child, Reddick.
Dude.
Every day I get a text from the big cat talking about how dumb the Sox are for trading Reddick, where he's like Babe Ruth. It's like the Babe Ruth trade all over again.
All I'm saying is he's better than every outfielder the Red Sox have right now.
Let me ask you this. Why is Bartolo Colon not even owned in our league?
Because he's big and fat. Honestly, because he's pitched against the Mariners 3 times. And it's
no one owns him at all. I'm just saying.
I think I was the only one who even thought about owning him last year, and he was okay for me.
Let me tell you who else I think has been much better than expected. Josh Hamilton.
Much better than expected?
Yeah.
He's been what I expected.
What do you expect from him?
Well, he was drafted around pick, where was he? Pick 24?
I guess.
About that, 26 or 27?
Dude.
Yeah. He's a top five player.
But I don't think you can say that this early because I think everyone knows if Josh Hamilton's right, he's a top 10 player.
That's why I bring it up because Wally's taking a lot of heat for drafting a team of injured or injury-prone guys.
So the fact that he hasn't got hurt in 2 weeks?
I'm just saying, he's hitting .426. He's already got 5 bombs, 12 RBIs.
And none of that's a surprise.
This is the Josh Hamilton you hope you get when you pick him, but if you knew he was going to put up these numbers, he would have been a top 10 pick. So far, Wally's coming out ahead.
Well, no, if you knew he was going to be healthy all year. The numbers aren't a surprise. And the fact that he hasn't got hurt in the first 2 weeks, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I didn't expect the second he walked on the field that he was going to pull his groin.
The guy's been raking. I mean, this is Wally getting over like Wally does. Somehow he picks a guy that we all expect to be hurt. Yeah, like you said, 2 weeks in. But, I mean, he's having MVP numbers in the first 2 weeks.
He is. He's an MVP caliber player. He is an MVP.
Okay, I'll tell you another one. Derek Jeter.
Cheetah. He's going to have 25 bombs this year. Mark it down.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not a bold prediction. There's no way he's going to have 25 bombs.
There's bold predictions, and then there's that.
There's the Derek Jeter has 25 bombs prediction. I got a couple guys that are a little deeper. Beltran is surprised. Jason Hayward's 18th. I didn't see him bouncing back this high.
You know who did see that?
Who? Bleacher?
This guy.
Oh, did you take him?
Dude, it was a bold prediction, like week 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Pena's been doing well. So is Jordan Schaefer.
Jordan Schaefer.
We talked about him last time. You don't like him at all.
I don't hate him, but he's a stolen base guy. That's it. I still don't think he's going to steal 40.
I picked up Nolan Reimold because of his amazing hot start. Thoughts?
Eh.
He doesn't excite me, but he definitely off to a hot start. He hits for power. And The Orioles need somebody that can hit for power.
Bottom line is he could easily be the guy that has the surprise here.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt he will, but he might.
Well, you could see him hitting 20-plus, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting anything with him.
One more from Wally's team, Andre Ethier. Better than expected.
No, he has been. More than anything, the fact that he's hit some bombs. That's not a guy that...
He's already got four bombs.
Yeah.
How can you not say Hanley, considering the crap that you guys have been giving Hanley?
I'm just laying low on Hanley until he starts to suck, and then I can hammer that home. I root against him so much every day just so that I can have ammunition. But yeah, he's been Hanley so far. Whatever, I'm waiting for my time on that one. By the way, Ethier already has 18 RBIs.
That's a lot.
I mean, it's April 20th,
dude,
guys.
I saw a stat that between Ethier and Kemp, it was like 80% of the Dodgers' total RBIs or something like that. Like, it was, you know, those two are just driving in everybody.
Yeah, and he's hitting 300, and he's got four bombs. FYI, in 2011, for the entire season, 135 games, he had 11 bombs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the power's the big surprise on him. He's not a guy that you expect to come out and mash like that. But let's make no mistake. Tuffy Rhodes hit three bombs on opening day a few years ago, and I think he ended the season with eight. So, I mean, this isn't an indicator of how many bombs someone's going to hit, per se.
Okay, well, that thought is definitely true with respect to some of the underperforming guys. Let's talk about guys that haven't gotten it going yet, because there's some big home run guys that are not doing it, starting with...
Well, dude, while you were gone just a second ago, I was telling Bobby that I guarantee there's a couple guys who have hit zero bombs as of today, and they're still going to hit 30 over the course of the season.
Cargo.
Maybe three. Cargo, Albert Pujols, Mike Stanton. Pujols...
Mike Stanton makes me worried because he's hurt.
It sounds minor. He says his knee's...
I know it sounds minor, but unless he sits, it's not going to get better. So he's either going to play through it the whole year, or he's going to take some time off and get right.
Well, I'm worried. I mean, I drafted him, I think, with pick 32. I thought it was a steal at the time, and so far, nothing. But he didn't hit his first home run until 2 weeks into the season last year. Albert Pujols is surprising to me because he has no homers, and he gets how many RBIs? Take a guess right now. 2 weeks into the season, how many RBIs?
Eight.
Four.
Wow.
Albert has four total RBIs. Hitting 296, he's not hurting you there, but no homers and four RBIs. And I said this when I was explaining why I did not think Albert was a number one overall pick. I think it takes time to adjust to pitchers you've never faced before. He's in a new league. And you know, some of you guys said, well, Albert's Albert, but I don't know. So far, nothing from that guy.
I don't know.
You know what his player rank is right now?
What?
Do you think he's in the top 100?
No.
Do you think he's in the top 200?
Sounds like he's not.
371.
Speaking of the top 100, I got to touch on this real quick. Last week, I made the bold prediction that Curtis Granderson would not finish in the top 100. Let's just say my brother was blowing my text up last night when Granderson hit three bombs in four innings.
Wow.
According to my brother, it was my bold prediction that stoked the flame for Granderson's night last
five
night.
Five for
so.
Five with three bombs. I mean, that's
a good night.
That's tremendous. One more guy I'll mention that's underperforming, Nelson Cruz. He's currently rated 112th on the player radar. Not off to a hot start for Nelly either. I don't know. What do you guys make of the first 2 weeks? You wait so long for the season to start. Don't you want to see your guys perform right off the bat?
Yeah, but I mean...
I try not to make anything out of it.
Yeah, you're trying to make anything out of it, but I mean, Nelson Cruz isn't a surprise to me. That's Nelson Cruz. He's the streakiest hitter out there, you know?
When you're rated 112th and you were picked, you know, in the top 40...
Dude, there's tons of guys who are having worse starts, though, than that. Cruz has got, what, three bombs?
Two. When does it go from always having a slow start to this is a problem? Like, at what point? Is it 30 days? Is it 45 days?
Yeah, it takes at the very least, a month before I'm going to even start to raise an eyebrow.
Can I tell you who the worst player is that's taken?
That's on a roster right now?
Yeah, I love these stats. There's not an offensive player that's worse than an injured player.
Holy crap. The Yankees are hitting home runs like...
Are they?
Oh, my gosh.
Alex Gordon's the worst player on a roster. He's on my team. Then Frank Coor, then Coco Crisp. But there's also 156 pitchers that are worse than a guy who hasn't pitched. 156. Isn't that amazing?
156 guys who you would be better off if you didn't have them on your team.
Yep.
And Timmy's at the top.
I had a couple guys that I want to tell you who the worst player overall was. Take a guess who the worst player overall is this year. Marlon Byrd is hitting a 075. He's 3 for 40. But this is one name I want to bust out to you guys. You remember my love of Nick Johnson? How I think I'm the only one who's a member of the Nick Johnson fan
club.
He's 0 for 20.
I didn't even know he's playing anymore.
Plays for Baltimore. I love he's 0 for 20, has a run RBI, and a stolen base.
Let me throw this at you. Nick, Joey Votto.
What about him?
You went back and forth, you know, leading up to the draft. What to do? Who should I pick? You ended up going Votto. No stolen bases.
No.
One home run. Hitting 289.
Well, the crazy thing about Votto, well, my team, I'm in second place, as you guys have said. My first four picks are the worst four players on my team. Votto, Cargo, Tex, and Bruce. And so I'm in second with these guys being crap.
You're in second place, and your first and second round pick have combined to give you one home run.
Yeah, and so I'm feeling like if these guys start to get going, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
So I can't really panic because my team's in second. So.
Well, there's one guy that I think is performing exactly as expected. Hunter Pence.
Pretty much.
You want to give us a Pence update?
Yeah, he's pretty much performing exactly where he was drafted, for those interested.
You know, we should have
He's performing exactly as you'd expect someone drafted in that slot to perform.
We should have a Pence update drop every week.
He is currently, he was originally ranked 43rd on the Yahoo player rankings. He's currently ranked 48th, hitting 327 with two bombs, seven RBIs, two bags.
It's not groundbreaking, but it's not terrible.
Do you think it's the worst pick in the draft?
It's definitely not the worst pick in the draft.
All right. I just want to talk for a second about kind of the league dynamics, because we added Show to the mix. We've got Andrew now kind of more local. We get to see him more often. So how do you think it's going from a league standpoint? We got Clinton at the last minute also, who we didn't think we were going to have. So
Is he actually in now?
That's a question I wanted to mention. I mean, where's Clint? Is he still in this league?
Does he know that the third best player overall is on his team, and two, he's on the DL?
Yeah, well, I know. Clint struggles a little bit just with keeping up with the roster, but he's still in. Don't worry. He's in.
You know who's not in? Yep. Drew Stubbs is on Clint's bench today, 3 for 5, with 3 RBIs and 2 stolen bases. Good job, Clint.
I think he had a bomb last night, too.
And Clint was running stuff at me 2 weeks ago in the podcast. Where are you at, Clint? Put Drew Stubbs in.
Dude, there's nothing worse than leaving stolen bases on the bench. If a guy has multiple stolen bases on your bench, that is brutal.
Yeah, if you're not gonna check your roster and make changes every day, then don't leave Jordan Schaefer in there permanently.
Well, it's one of those things. Like Clint always tells me, "Oh, I'm so busy at work or whatever. You know, I forget to do stuff." When push comes to shove, there's no excuse anymore. I mean, if it was something where this was 1980 and you had to mail your roster changes in, then that's one thing. But all you have to do is go on your phone and make a change. You know what I mean? It takes 5 seconds.
Yeah, literally 5 seconds.
And I know Clint's not. He's out of town on work this week right now. So, you know, I'm sure that's why he'll say he didn't make the change of Chris Young out of his lineup when he's on the DL. But he has an iPhone. He goes to the app, pulls the guy out. It takes 5 seconds.
That's what I was going to say. Is he, like, on a trip to Mount Everest? Is he, like, 20,000 leagues under the sea where there's no internet service?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Come on, Clint. And get on the message board. I mean, that's where the action is. Clint's in ninth place. He could at least run smack at me.
The problem is he was in 10th for a long time, so he probably hasn't even logged in the last couple of days, so he doesn't know.
He doesn't even know. Good exchange with F and Show, the new guy. You know, he finally came out from hiding and made a post. You got to give him props. I mean, we all know when I was in first place for 15 minutes, I was running my mouth. So good to see him on the message board. Wally's had a lot of good posts, too.
Yeah.
I like it when the message board is spiced up.
Well, Wally's probably the most consistent message board poster out of everybody.
Well, and if you look at a timeline of like when the posts are made, Wally's are consistently between 1 and 3 in the morning.
That's when all the best fantasy baseball thinking happens, I guess.
Good stuff.
All right, well, let's take a minute here and discuss our trade, Combs. I think we're close to getting a deal done here.
Well, you know, I thought we were close, and then I looked at your last proposal.
It's a good proposal.
It's great for you. I have no doubt about
Let's
that.
Say this. Let's say this. I'm trying to move David Ortiz because I don't have a great spot in my lineup for him. You know, I can't use a guy that's hitting 383, so I need to move him. But I think it's a good proposal.
What's your team average?
I don't even know. I don't look at any totals yet.
Okay.
I can't do it. I'm sending you David Ortiz plus Coco Crisp, who I would probably have to drop, but he has value from stolen base standpoint. You're going to send me Cespedes, Cahill, and Jake Peavy, who you just got off waivers. That's a good deal.
I know. The problem is you're acting like Peavy is nothing. Of the three guys, Peavy's probably the best player on that, of the three that I'm giving up. I mean, here's the deal. If you look at just Cespedes for Ortiz...
You could make that same argument about Bartolo Colon, but he's on waivers too.
Great, then go pick him up. Here's what I'm saying. If you look at just Cespedes for Ortiz straight up, the only difference is they're going to have pretty similar runs. They're going to have pretty similar home runs, pretty similar RBIs. Cespedes is going to steal 15 to 20 bases, and Ortiz is going to hit 80 points higher. So, essentially, I'm trading you some stolen bases and gaining average. And now you want me to throw in two pitchers for that? There's no value in that for me.
You're getting Coco Crisp, who's going to more than make up for the stolen bases, because not only are you going to make up for Cespedes' stolen bases.
And I'm telling you,
you're going to make it up. You lost Ellsbury. You need those bags.
I do.
So that's a valuable category for you to be getting. It's not a throwaway player.
Would be in the fact, other than now if I get both of those two guys, I've got to sit down somebody else. I've got to sit down two guys because I'm going to be sitting down Corey Hart? No. Am I going to sit down Hunter Pence? No. Am I going
to
sit down Kenny Morales?
Why do you have to sit down
Morales?
Two guys? You're getting,
I can't play them both if I don't.
Cespedes, that clears up a spot.
Cespedes is in and out for me. Right now he's a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, but Ortiz would not be because Ortiz is hitting 150 points higher than Cespedes.
That's the point.
He's a guy you want to plug in because he's going to hit 30 bombs and he might hit 300. But more importantly, you have to plug in. You're saying, oh, I have to make a spot. Yeah, you do have to make a spot because you lost Ellsbury's 40 bags. You got to plug in someone to get those for you.
No, I can find stolen bases other ways other than giving up two pitchers, especially someone like Peavy
Two marginal pitchers. Peavy, who you got off waivers, and Cahill, who has
I don't care that it value. Doesn't matter to me that I got him off waivers. The point is that if you look at the starts he's had so far, I'm willing to hold on to him and gamble that he might be the Jake Peavy of old, that he's actually healthy. If I trade him away right now as a throwaway and he is the PV of old, I just made the worst deal ever. Because he's a third guy that I'm just throwing in, and he has potential to be a top 20 starter. No, thank you.
But that's what everyone thinks when they pick up a potential gold mine.
I understand
off waivers, and you only think that for 1 or 2 weeks until he lights
and
you up.
That could be the case. And I'm saying though that the difference between Cespedes and Ortiz is not two pitchers. It's not.
Plus Crisp.
Right. The difference between Cespedes and Ortiz is almost nothing. So those two cancel each other out. So I'm giving you Coco Crisp for Cahill and Peavy. No, thank you. Coco Crisp is going to steal, 35 bases? I can go find a 30-steal guy on the waiver wire right now, Joe.
He stole 40 last year. Or 42, I believe. Who are you going to... Let's say you don't do this deal. You don't get Crisp. Who are you going to plug in to get you bags?
There's plenty of guys out there. I don't know the names.
It's a counting stat. So every day that you don't put somebody in there, you're going to have a hard time making that up.
By the way, can I jump in? Crisp has 2 stolen bases all year. It's not like he's running. He's the fourth worst player on a team.
He didn't play to start with.
Well, I think he's going to steal 30 bases, but I also believe that there's probably 10 guys sitting on the waiver wire right now that are going to give me similar stats to Coco Crisp. They will steal 30 bases and do jack crap in the other 4 stats. I can find just stolen bases almost any time.
He stole 49 last year, Coco did. And that's his major value point for the A's, too. He's in there to run, so he's going to run.
Hitting third. He's got to have more value to the A's than just stealing bases. If he's hitting third, he's in the power spot.
They expect him to steal bases, is what I'm telling you.
No.
So if he's going to do anything, it's going to be stealing bases.
I can't give you Peavy and Cahill. I'll give you one, but I'm not going to give both of those guys away. And the odds are, one of those two is going to be a serviceable guy, and the other one's probably going to be waiver fodder. I understand that, but I'm not going to take the chance of just giving them both away.
I'm not just going to agree that Ortiz and Cespedes are essentially the same player. I'm taking all the risk on Cespedes. No one knows what he is.
I know what he is.
All anybody has is 2 weeks' worth of information.
Dude, all you have to do is watch him hit a baseball, and you know that that power's legit. Now, the average, I have no doubt that he's not going to hit for a great average, but when he hits the baseball, it goes a long ways.
But average is a category.
Dude, he's Pedro Serrano. If you throw him a fastball, he's going to hit it out.
He's never seen Major League.
Oh my, you've never seen Major League?
Don't you think pitchers...
That's the biggest offense in the history of the podcast.
Don't you think people are going to realize that if they throw him a fastball, he's going to hit it out? I mean, he's hitting 222 right now. Where do you think he finishes? What average?
I think he's going to finish around 240, 250.
That's not an average that helps you. It hurts you a lot. If a guy gets
I understand, but he's also going to steal 15 to 20 bases, Joe.
Says what? Says your Cuban intelligence sources?
Says everyone who's ever seen him play. His speed is not a question either. The power is not something that's questionable. The speed is not something that's questionable.
It's all questionable. We have 2 weeks worth of data. The guy didn't even play in the minor leagues.
So explain to me, why aren't you just doing Cespedes and Cahill for Poppy?
I already said that I would do that.
Well, why aren't you doing it? I forgot what you said.
Because I have to drop somebody, and if I have to drop somebody, like let's say it's Coco Crisp, then all of a sudden I'm giving up too much.
Then don't drop Coco Crisp. You're offering me right now a 2-for-3 deal. Instead of doing that, let's scale it back. Give me Poppy for Cespedes and Cahill, and drop whoever you're dropping on this 2-for-3 deal anyway. How's that any different?
Because I do want to move Coco. Because I already have so many
Then move Coco somewhere else.
You need Coco. If anyone needs Coco, you need him.
I agree, but I don't need him at that price.
All right, well, then let's talk about what you want to do. Who else will you give me?
No, that's a problem.
Let's say you keep Peavy because you like the upside of Peavy. Then what?
So you still want two starting pitchers?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have to look over it. I don't know that there's any two starters that I'm willing to give up.
All right, more to come on this, but I think I'm making you an offer that helps your team.
I agree that it helps my team, but only at the right price. It doesn't help me if I have to give away half my pitching staff to get a few stolen bases.
Are you interested in moving Matt Moore?
No. Not for right now. I mean, I'm selling low on him. That would be a poor decision.
He has a 5.54 ERA.
I know, but
1.62 whip, so he'd be perfect on my team.
But where I drafted him, I've got to believe that he's going to be better than that.
Only 9 Ks in 13 innings?
I mean, I was looking at that the other day. The K rate is going to improve. Of all the things, his ERA might be high. His whip may certainly be high. Of all the things I'm not worried about, it's the K rate. He's always had an amazing K rate.
So why don't you give me Cahill and Matt Moore instead of Cahill and Peavy?
No.
Would you do more for Poppy straight up? I feel like I'm like a Middle East peace negotiator.
I don't think I would do that anyway.
By the way, this is what it's like every day of our lives. This last 5 minutes, it's literally a conversation like this.
More to come on this, but I think we can get a deal done. I think you need Coco.
The thing, I don't know how I'm ever going to play Coco. That's a problem. I'm not going to sit any of those other three outfielders down
on a regular basis.
Then you're
going to give up on stolen bases. Because you don't have, I mean, you got a bunch of guys that are going to give you 15.
I don't know. We'll look at it. Right now, I don't know exactly what to do on it.
All right. Well, let's move on to our segment that we like to call "Who You Got."
Who you got? Who you got? Yeah, who you got? Do you like that? Drop.
So we did. We do who you got going into the season, and now we have this. You know these. Glasses on after 2 weeks that filter what we think about people. Some of us are spitting mad at players and you want to give up on guys. So I made a list of some who you got that seem obvious on draft day, but then you look at what the first 2 weeks have been like. I'll throw this one out at you. Bartolo Colon versus Cole Hamels.
Yeah. Cole Hamels.
Bartolo's ranked 16th. Cole Hamels 152nd.
Did you not find anyone who would take?
I know. And that's kind of makes my point about your mindset 2 weeks into the season. About how you manage your team, how you look at trades, when you decide to give up on a guy. Again, Colon's not even owned in our league. Here's a good one I think is legit. Adam Jones versus Desmond Jennings.
Boy. That's a good one.
Dude, I really liked Adam Jones coming into the draft, and he's been performing so well right now. I think
Adam Jones has found his groove.
And Jennings may be either underperforming or... off to a slow start.
Well, the thing with Jennings is he doesn't really have that power potential, does he? I mean, we know he's a stolen base guy. Do you think it's anywhere close to what Jones's is? Well, Jones is a possible 30 home run guy, and he's going to steal you 20 bases.
I bet you Jones will not steal or have 20 home runs.
30. I don't know that. I'm saying that's the top end of where he's going.
Desmond Jennings had, how many home runs did he have last year? He had more than you think. I had him on my team. He was a stat stuff.
Adam Jones already has 5 bombs in 2 weeks.
Jennings, he has got off to a slow start, and I would rather have Adam Jones.
Dude, Adam Jones' home runs plus stolen bases will be more than Desmond Jennings' home runs plus stolen bases.
And most people would have disagreed with you in the
especially when you consider the season, when you consider that you know they expected Desmond Jennings to steal 40 bases.
Right. So if Jennings was a 18 and 40 guy.
By the way, Desmond Jennings in 247 at bats last year, 10 bombs, 20 stolen bases. I mean, pretty darn good.
Adam Jones last year, 25 bombs, only 12 stolen bases. So that doesn't even add up to 40 total, and you're saying Jennings is a 40 stolen base guy. So, Big Cat, your prediction there is
a bold
prediction.
I see Adam Jones hitting more than 25. He hit 25 last year.
I think Adam Jones is fine in his group. I think he's made enough adjustments. He's ready to play.
Hitting 321 with 5 homers. And so he got 3 bags. So, yeah, I would take him over Desmond Jennings right now, too. I'll give you one more, and then you guys tell me some of yours.
Okay.
Who you got, D. Gordon or Elvis Andrus?
Elvis.
Elvis.
Elvis is currently ranked 208th. D. Gordon, 120th.
Well, right now, you're not getting a whole lot, but, I mean, the small power that Elvis has is more than D. Gordon.
It's negligible. It's in the noise.
His power is not.
But I think Elvis can also hit 280, and D. Gordon's not going to hit about 240.
Well, Elvis is hitting 245 right now, and in 2011, you're right, he hit 279, 265 the year before that. He gets 35 stolen bases a year, and Gordon may double that. D. Gordon may have 70 bags this year. He's already got 8 bags in 12 games.
Are they going to keep playing D. Gordon if he's hitting out of 200? He's going to be playing in AAA.
Yeah, the stuff I read today, they have no plan B. It's all Gordon all year long.
Wow. Well.
And by the way, in 2010, Elvis Andrus in 148 games, no home runs. Last year, 5 home runs. So even if D. Gordon hits 0,
creep it up.
It's a negligible difference. I think you guys know where I stand on this.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet D!
It's hard to say because of those stolen bases. If he's one of those guys, if he does steal 70, I mean, there's a ton of value in that. That's the type of guy that can get you, if you're looking at just roto points, I mean, that's what? It's probably 5 roto points alone, just the stolen bases. Now, he's going to cost you, what, 2, 3 with the average?
Well, he's not getting any home runs either.
Well, the rest of your team can be built around the other categories because this guy can single-handedly win you a category.
I don't think he can win for it, but he can make. I mean,
you can put you in the top 5.
Yeah. Put you in the top 3.
He can win it for you because
someone else has got more than someone else. In most leagues where someone didn't try to take every stolen base guy, there's going to be someone else that has Bourne. There's going to be someone else that.
I mean, a smart owner would have drafted Bourne like in the 6th round, and then D. Gordon around pick 90. You get those
and then tried to pawn off Coco Crisp like he was. Like he was Ricky Henderson.
And those owners would be in last place.
All right, go ahead.
I got something for you guys. This is for last place Joe. Jake Peavy or Joe Saunders?
I like Peavy a lot. I think Peavy's right.
I thought you liked Joe Saunders.
My bench coach likes Joe Saunders, and every time I watch Joe Saunders pitch, I'm dismayed that I didn't start him because he just keeps getting wins.
There's nothing better than hearing Joe say that he thinks Jake Peavy's right and he likes Jake Peavy. And then, what was it, 5 seconds ago, he was bitching because he's a waiver wire guy.
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm just trying to get
him. He was sitting on the waiver wire for 2 weeks. You could have got him if you wanted him.
I didn't want to drop Mike Moustakas. I would have picked him up before you did.
You didn't want to drop Mike Moustakas, yeah. So you didn't pick up a pitcher that you think is right. A guy who was a top 10 starter last time he was right.
Listen, 3 days ago, I went to pick up Peavy. I clicked pick up the player. I went to my team. I looked at who I was going to drop, and I couldn't pull the trigger because I don't have a backup third baseman, and I didn't want to drop Moustakas. Then you picked up Peavy, but I think Peavy's right. I think I don't know if he's as good as he was.
There's no way he's going to be that good.
4 seasons ago.
He was so good.
He doesn't have to be that good. He is definitely worth a number 4 or 5.
The fact that the K rate is up is what makes me, what encourages me about it.
The fact that you don't have anybody to drop in your last place.
We're talking about guys like Coco Crisp, Mike Moustakas.
You drop him.
Who else was there? There's all these All these guys.
Look at Babe Ruth.
Like six pitchers with an ERA over five. I can't drop anybody.
All right, I got a few more. Lance Lynn or Jake Peavy?
I don't believe in Lynn yet, but...
I don't either. Peavy.
Peavy, but Lynn has had two good starts.
I know. The thing with Lynn is that at least we you can assume he's going to have a better health upside. I mean, Jake Peavy could be done any minute now. That's the one thing. If Peavy's right, I think we all agree he's probably going to be pretty good, right? If he's actually healthy.
Yeah, but I didn't have Peavy on my radar prior to the season. I never said to myself, "Oh, hey, if Peavy's healthy, he's going to be awesome." I wasn't even taking a chance on Peavy.
I know, but then you saw the first two starts.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I only believe in Peavy now. I didn't have him on my radar before. But it's a surprise to me that he's this good.
I got a couple more. Alex Gordon or Melky Cabrera?
Alex Gordon all day.
Neither one.
That's not part of the game.
Well, then Melky.
He can choose neither one.
Melky. There's no question, Melky.
Here's the new thing. If you say neither one, you're automatically taking Mike Moustakas.
All right, one more for me. Hector Santiago or Kyle Harper?
Hector.
When does Farnsworth come back? I don't know the timetable.
I'm not sure. It might be in a week or so. I could be way off on that.
If he's back within the next 10 days, I would take Farnsworth.
Because you like how much he has always sucked?
Dude, he was nails last year. If you don't think he was good last year, you're nuts. Yeah, pull up the stats, Joe.
Yeah, I'm looking up.
Read them off to me. He was awesome last year.
First of all, he's out 4 to 6 weeks with a right elbow strain.
Yeah, as of like May, the end of March.
As of April 1st, so he's not even back till end of this month or mid-May.
I think this...
I set the caveat that if he's coming back soon.
Well, bottom line is this. Do you believe in Hector Santiago or not?
I think it's his job to lose.
So how do you feel about having him?
I'm pretty excited about it. Should we tell the group our arrangement?
I think it's more than fine.
So you had so many closers because you're a ninja.
Which, by the way, I'm so stupid. Like, I wouldn't drop, like, Joel Peralta to pick him up.
So you came to me and said, I have too many closers, but I know who's going to be the closer in Chicago. What will you give me if I tell you who it is?
No, I didn't tell you in Chicago. I said I'm in Chicago.
And so we negotiated. I think you wanted $5 per save and $1 per strikeout.
Yep.
And I agreed on $5 per save. And so, but there was no downside for me because if he didn't get the job, this is before it was known for sure. But then he got the job, and what does he have, 3 saves already?
Yeah. And then
so you're paying $5
per save. I'm paying $5 per save. But
so after the second save, I get a text from my special saying, I hate this deal. I'm going to have to be paying you $100. Like, dude, you're getting a closer. You're getting 20 saves, man.
Yeah, but then I'm subtracting $5 for every blown save, which he had in his last
game. That was not part of the arrangement.
Well, I'm drawing up the contract.
Interesting.
Because he just got lit up the other night.
All right, Big Cat, you got me?
He could lose that job pretty quickly. I don't know how long that leash is. I mean, I guess...
He's a good buck.
With Robert Ventura there, we don't know exactly his style or how he's going to handle those type of things, but I don't know.
You got any Big Cat?
Dude, I didn't look him up. Sorry, guys. I've been messing around with all this stuff today. All
right. Well, that's the podcast for this week, then.
Do you have any bold predictions?
I have a bold prediction.
You've been out for 2 weeks.
I have a bold prediction. By the time we do our podcast a week from today, on April 27th, I will be in sixth place or better. I'm going to make up 4 spots this week.
This week?
In 1 week.
Wow.
It's early enough. You can move around a lot in the standings. I'll be in sixth place by the next time we have a podcast.
That is a bold prediction. There's a huge gap. The bottom three, there's a pretty big gap you have to jump to make that move.
And let me reiterate one prediction I already made on this episode. I will finish this season ahead of the new guy.
Wow.
Look at the two rosters.
Okay.
Again, either I'm crazy or my team is a lot better than it's performing right now.
If Vegas was going to put odds on Joe being in sixth place in a week or Derek Jeter hitting 35 bombs, which would have better odds?
Dude, those are both really bad.
That's two bold predictions. All right, what about you, BOD?
I don't have any bold predictions at the moment. Oh, like the Derek Jeter one. How many bombs did I say? 25? Oh, 25 miles.
Dude, I have a bold prediction. Freaking Robinson Cano is going to finish outside of the top 150. He's a piece of crap.
Is this your reverse jinx that you have in Granderson?
No, it's because he just freaking dribbled another one back to the pitcher. I'm so sick of watching that piece of crap
Hey, I'll trade you Kelly Johnson straight up.
The Yankees broadcasters themselves were talking about how Cano's not right. They were talking about how the balls he's hitting now, even the ones he's hitting well, he's not, his fly ball rate's down. He's not getting enough quality swings. So there's no report that he's hurt, right?
No, he's just a piece of crap.
So do you think the Big Cat will edit that part out of the podcast no one else in the league can hear it?
You want to throw him in our deal?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. If I can get Coco Chris for him, because I don't know where I would find someone else.
All right, like that. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Again, follow us on Twitter, which is at Off Base Podcast. Follow us, our league. Give them the tiny URL again.
tinyurl.com/Off Base Podcast League.
And, of course, you can always get us on iTunes under Off Base Podcast.
Email's offbasepodcast@gmail.com.
Send us your emails. We'll read them on the air. And see you next week.